Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million. You didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'm going to play Saxon Jacks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Brennan Cornan, Mr. Mike Weber on the board. SP Futures up 1650, Dow Futures up 140. As they freeze up 70, we're trying to bounce back from yesterday's almost the exact same spot from where we were down that much yesterday. So there they were, Brendan, in grad school. Actually, undergrad too, but in grad school where they said, you know, when you look at option pricing, when you look at security pricing, it's a steady stream of information regarding companies and the economy and everything else. I'm going to go back and rewrite that. It's a steady stream of tweets from some person in the White House that doesn't seem to have it together. Yesterday we were totally banning Huawei, so we're down. The day wears on, and you knew something was amiss because we stopped going down and back a little bit. And all of a sudden, we're back to, we're going to give some people 90 days or 60 days or something or other, and... We're back right in this mess. It says Huawei's biggest problem is now uncertainty, analysts say. So now does that mean the Google's
uncertainty
people,
about what? About being able to penetrate the American market?
About a guy in the Oval Office?
Mm-hmm.
The idea that you would ever in business school teach people that this is what the market has turned into. Why would you ever do that? And the interesting part is, if you happen to be, here's Dow futures pop 150 points after U.S. eases trade restrictions on Huawei. Brennan, they were yesterday restrictions. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not talking about a year ago and something happened to where they promised to behave or whatever the hell they were doing wrong. It's yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Are
things that short term now in the,
evidently.
I mean, do they think that it's going to stay the same because Trump reversed a tweet?
I don't know. You know, it's just the interesting part is yesterday I did stuff that I never would normally do. I was short some calls in the QQQ for my people and in the Russell. They're $5 out of the money, and I bought them in. I'm like, why? You know, why leave them out there? Matter of fact, I'm going to short the, I don't know which one it is. It must have been the Qs. I'm short like the 188 and a half. And they're like 2 cents. And I bought in like the 187 and a half for 2 cents. And you always want to buy the one in lower if you get it for the same price, because once in your lifetime, it might actually go back to 188 and you make that buck instead of not. I mean, why would you? I mean, I used to shake my head in the pit when somebody did not come down and they'd pay like a 16th for the 265 calls when the 261 calls were offered at a 16th. For those of you that don't know, as long as you buy something under, you've covered the top one. So why not give yourself, but obviously, let's just close the position. Okay, well, why would you do that? I never give trading advice, but I will here. All I'm saying is if you can buy the 185 call for a penny, when you're short the 188, buy the 185. Because sometime somewhere in somebody's lifetime, something crazy will happen. It'll go over 185 and you get essentially get a free call spread there. You're still covering it, but why would you do that? And anyway, that's the only trading advice I'll ever give. If the 170 puts offered at a penny, don't buy the 165 put at a penny. Buy the 170 put at a penny. So there, how's that for trading advice? Not much, huh? Just saying. But I mean, you see it happen all the time. I mean, like, why would you do that? Anyway, so I mean, I just... the whole idea that, that this is, nobody looks, I guess we're looking for, at the Fed a little bit. We look a little bit at some of the earnings, but I mean, I'm all set up. If we have some huge rally this week, I got myself set up for it just because we're down low enough to where, and you cover the other side. So actually, I just wonder now, how sustainable will that be? We start running up, everybody pours their money back in the market, and then we turn around next week. I mean, I don't get where we're going with this, with Brendan. I understand that China has been somewhat of a bad actor. I don't understand Iran. I mean, I was listening to all the news shows on Sunday, and there are people that were, you know, they're saying, hey, look, these guys are, the old agreement is still in place for them with the other people. Most people think that in the strict guidelines of the old agreement, they are paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're doing other stuff was never addressed in that agreement. It was totally about the nuclear stuff. So why anybody would think it would cover that, we have no idea. And you know, and now we're you know, beating the drums. There doesn't seem to be an end game here, other than
war.
Well, I honestly don't think the president wants war.
Well, I don't think so either. But I think he's being positioned into that.
Yeah, he just
or positioned himself into it.
Yeah, I mean, is he listening to Bolton? Bolton's like the last neocon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those guys think that we should be rattling sabers all over the place.
Mm-hmm. I think both Bolton and Pompeo are of that ilk.
You think Pompeo is too?
I do. Not as hardline as Bolton, but I think that he pours gasoline on some fires as well.
What they used to call them, chicken hawks?
Chicken hawks.
Remember that in Vietnam, the guys that never fought, telling other people to go.
That's right.
Wasn't that what they used to call Rumsfeld and those guys too?
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, you would think that wouldn't be so much a part of. First of all, politics and wars and things like that have always been a part of the market. I'm not beginning to say that it isn't, but I've never seen this daily basis stuff though. I mean, this Huawei, they're involved in our stuff. They're how many billion dollars do our guys supply them with?
Well, it's not only the United States, but you know, they have inroads in Europe, throughout China, obviously, and they're a world player.
How bad, like Carl was on yesterday, he thinks that virtually all their technology is eventually from here. But, you know, first of all, I don't like those guys stealing anybody's technology, but stealing people's technology or stealing people's inventions has been a sport forever.
Yes, it has been. And I think that there are some American companies that did the same thing, either with when innovation happens overseas or even here. You know, that was the reason for patent law protection from people who were stealing other folks' ideas.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
Well, it depends on who's got the patent right now.
But I mean, most major patents were not the people that have them didn't invent the stuff.
Well, that's true. It's whoever gets to the courthouse first.
Well, but it's recognizing somebody else has something of value.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Microsoft buy the mouse from somebody?
Probably, I don't know. I don't know whether that's
maybe
true.
Remember, this is up your alley. Didn't they buy the mouse and they bought Windows from somebody that didn't even know what they had?
I don't know the answer to that. I could probably find out, though.
I think they did. I mean, if you look at what Microsoft actually ever did on their own, I mean they basically used their... I mean, they're a perfect example of how somebody, well, that's, you know, should have been... They used the fact that they had the operating system to force essentially WordPerfect out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Google forced, you know, MapQuest out of business, right?
Right.
I mean, all that stuff is by far.
Well, if you build a better mousetrap, then you should get more of the market share.
Would anybody think they were better? They just were involved. It became part of their system.
Well, it became part of their system, and also. Once it gets, whether it's better or not, if you think it's better and you want to buy it, or you can force the market because of your size.
Well, they forced people to include the Microsoft stuff on the machine when you
mm-hmm.
bought it.
Right.
Well, that's not the same as being better.
True. I mean, that's just sheer size to get everybody to use their product.
I think the term would be vertical integration.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what? Prohibited by the Clayton Act, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
ostensibly.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody's going to buy a car, and all of a sudden everybody wants a system where people can locate you and all the other stuff, that thing should be an option. It shouldn't just be you get OnStar, because mm-hmm. that's what GM has,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
You mean if they're going to give you money for a loan, a rebate, so you get 0%, it should be 0% through them or $5,000, which is what that's worth, which you should be able to take to a bank and get your own loan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't care about any of this stuff anymore. But and if one of these days, maybe we actually might, but, you know, just saying.
But at a certain point, it doesn't matter if you object to it or not. It's a fait accompli, which was your point about Microsoft.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you see it happen one place and you don't catch it, you would think you'd make sure it doesn't happen again. But we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're letting Merck buy a place again today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Merck should be able to use the incredible stealing they do on their prescription drugs to just buy anybody else who has another drug. That's the deal.
Well, that's what a lot of pharmaceutical companies have done. They buy small startups that don't have the capital to withstand the pressure. And it looks like a good deal for somebody who's developed a drug or a patent to sell out for a lot of money.
Well, rather than work your way through the FDA, but it's still not. So the idea is you get to be. But this is what this is what when the Constitution was done. I mean, I was not there, obviously. We didn't want to turn into another Europe.
Mm-hmm.
That your great grandfather somehow stole all the money from people and has a castle. So you get to do that for the next generations to come.
Mm-hmm.
So does Merck get to be the world's biggest drug company if they never come up with another drug? Just by buying other people up early and being the only person to get something through the FDA and the only people with the distribution system?
Looks like it's headed that way.
Yeah, it does. I mean, but
David Parks writes in, Bill Gates bought MOS, the precursor to Windows, from IBM. That was hardware focused and didn't understand what they own, and sourced the mouse tech from Xerox.
Okay.
So that's a little background on that.
Yeah, he was pretty good at seeing what the market wanted and going out and getting it. I mean, I don't begrudge him that at all. I mean, I'm sure the first caveman who invented the wheel didn't know what he had, right, Brendan?
Probably not.
Hey, what is this thing?
Just kind of learned it by accident, watching a rock roll down a hill.
Yeah, what is this thing? And then somebody else goes, "Hey, you know, we could maybe use that. Can I have a couple? Sure."
But I think, you know, that's also one of the things that large corporations do. Or, you know, people who are bigger in stature in the corporate world, they buy a lot of everything. You know, it's kind of like a whale swimming through the water looking for krill. You just take everything in, and then you filter out what you don't need. If you've got the money and you start buying up smaller companies and smaller, in the case of the drug companies, smaller drug companies with patents that they have, you may not know what you have, like Gates and Microsoft. Eventually you identify what it is and you expand on that and you market that to your benefit. And, you know, who knows what the real inventor could have come up with if they had more capital.
I'm not saying it's all wrong. I'm just saying that a lot of what the patents have happened. I mean, the classic case that we learned about in school was Brown, Cameron, and Kodak. Kodak jumped the patent.
Mm-hmm.
Brown, Cameron sued. For those of you who don't know, if you get a patent, you may think you're getting help from the government. You're not. The defense of that is totally on you, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So Kodak basically, de-treasuried Brown Camera for how many years in court. Finally, Brown Camera sold out to Kodak. Kodak got the patent, and Brown Camera eventually won the case, but they had no company left.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that patent law work on that one? I mean, it had been the judge.
Well,
never,
you know, technically speaking, Brown won, so it worked just well.
Yeah, just well. But obviously, they didn't give them all the cost to litigate. They didn't give them their company back, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I mean, it's
a pyrrhic victory in the truest sense of the word.
I was listening. I was kind of looking forward to you being on today. I was listening to the Meet the Press and those things on Sunday. And I was listening to Bernie, Matt's guy, and a little bit that I can listen to Elizabeth Warren because she kind of runs too fast for me. But anyway, these guys have their heart in the right place, Brendan. But where do they see government being efficient enough to do all the stuff they think they want them to do? And Elizabeth Warren does nothing when she goes in front of Kentland in Congress when she's got, like, the Fed over there. She does nothing but excoriate the bureaucrats in Washington for such a horse bleep job they do regulating these banks and whatever. And yet she's more than willing to heap more regulation on these people. I'm going to say this morning.
That's because our guys will be in there, not your guys.
That's what everyone does. I mean, the same people that hate the government are the same people that are cheering the Alabama abortion law,
mm-hmm.
which is just more government telling people what to do. Everyone wants the government if it's for their position, them. Right? And then they don't like it if it's not. So,
well, but there's a huge difference between the Alabama abortion thing, which it's a law, okay, or a proposed law, it's a lot big difference than getting rid of all the insurance companies and letting government take over. I mean, that's one is, you know, a law. They're trying to make criminal whatever they're trying to do.
The point is, it's government telling people what to do.
Well, no, but
case, that's at its purest form.
No, one is saying government will be way more efficient at running a business. The other is telling people what to do. I think there's a huge difference there, Manny. Honestly,
I'm coming down on Manny's side. I think in both cases, it's government trying to tell people what they can do and how they should do it.
They're different. I mean, you're right, Chief. But in the purest form, it's government telling people what to do and how to do it.
You're
going to take it and you're going to like it.
There's a different point of view here. What I'm saying is that we're not saying that insurance is wrong. We're saying we're going to be better at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's different than an abortion law.
Yeah, that part of it is. Yes, yeah. Correct.
So I'm not.
But it's still government telling people what to do on both sides.
I would say, yeah. I mean, but I agree with that part. What I'm saying is...
That's all I said.
Okay, well, where I'm going with this is that the idea... I mean, I'm looking at this Sprint T-Mobile thing. Anybody who thinks that you should go from four companies to three in a business like that is out of his frigging mind. And yet we've got a government that says, oh, no, these two guys need to come together. Why? I'm going to say we're going to lose... I use this one of these goofy things, Ting. A lot of people use Cricket. What's the Walmart one, Manny? Green something something?
I don't know. I just know Cricket.
Walmart has their own. You can get these are essentially off brands that you can buy from extra capability at Sprint or mostly T-Mobile, right? I mean, I don't think you're going to get one of those at Verizon or maybe there are. I don't know. But if essentially the extra bandwidth. Well, now there's not going to be any, right? There probably won't be any extra bandwidth. All this place is going to go out of business. Where now I have to do business with Verizon or AT&T or this combined company.
But isn't that called market efficiency?
in some people's minds, I'm sure it is. You can't go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. But the reason you can't go into place else is because the Verizons and the AT&Ts are so efficient and provide such a good product that people don't want the other product.
Can you pull your tongue out of your cheek at this point?
I think straight you're talk not buying is what that? You're looking for.
Yeah. No, I think we're not buying that. I think
Straight Talk is the name of that cell phone company, the green one.
If you go to, I know Walmart has their own.
Yeah, Straight Talk Wireless is available at Walmart and other places, and it's got the green logo and everything.
Yeah, and I think they use Sprint, but I'm not sure. I know Ting does. But what I'm saying why do we think that the people that are in government do a good job with this stuff? They think it's fine having four airlines. No, it's not.
Well, you know, I think that sometimes it's not that they think government is more efficient, but it's a better option than having the private sector full of greed. And here's the argument that full of greed and lining their own pockets is worse than having the government monitor and work the programs.
Does anybody really believe that?
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people do.
Well, why?
Because of the example that you just gave in the corporate world of companies getting larger and more powerful and monopolistic.
No, according to Milton Friedman, I'll pull up the gun there. According to Milton Friedman, no monopoly has ever lasted for any period of time without the government allowing it to happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you just argued for the government.
No, yeah. What I'm saying is
exactly.
The reason why Commonwealth Edison has no competition is because government has given them the monopoly.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, they've bought it.
They bought it from government.
Yeah, they've bought it from government.
Okay, but what I'm saying is...
If the government truly did its job, then I guess so. I think you guys are arguing each other's point. I mean, the fact is the corporate, you know, greed is always going to push toward a monopoly, and the government is just people as well, and they're always going to take the bribe. So it's like, unless you have a government that actually, you know, does its job, then there is no point.
But eventually,
in theory, that's why you have the government.
They wear you out. They wear you out because,
well, they have the wherewithal.
They have all the money.
Yeah, they have the money
and the resources.
I mean, if we wanted to protest, I'm sure there's another one coming down the pipe. The next rate increase from Commonwealth Edison or People's Gas, we would have to get our money together. Okay, we'd have to get a bunch of people. Every wings in $1,000. It's a listener, and all of a sudden we get this, you know, several million-dollar hoard. We may actually be able to hire some law firm and get the right people. We might be able to beat them back this time. But now we're out of dough. The next morning they'll file another rate increase, and not only that, they'll bring the bill from fighting us. Using every law firm in the world that charges what?
As a
need for more money.
More money.
And that's why, in theory, people are pro-government stepping in and limiting that. The problem is they're not doing it.
Remember, one of the examples of
dealing with ComEd, for example, was Pat Quinn with the CUB, Citizens Utilities Board. What was that, back in the late 70s or early 80s, which proved your point, proved the government, the point about government regulation putting limits.
Right, but then all of a sudden they're gone and Commonwealth Edison's still here.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's temporary.
But I guess what I'm saying, Matty, is if you have, I think you're correct that you need to have government involved. But I think the government has to involve to maintaining competition, not to say, we can regulate in a non-competitive area, because they've proven themselves to be useless at that, in my mind. In other words, the way to deal with the banking industry is not to have four banks you think you're controlling. Let's have 10 banks that are competing. I mean, look at my industry. I mean, you don't have three or four people sending orders to the trading floor that are totally non-competitive, and they can do whatever they want. And try and regulate these people that have $90 billion with a bunch of 25-year-old kids. Dude, that doesn't work. What happens is if you had 30 people providing stuff to the trading floor and markets, the markets would be better and you'd have some competition. I mean, I don't know how people think we're better off with one soybean farmer that we, quote, regulate than we are having 90,000 soybean farmers competing.
I don't think people do think that's better. I think people are always pro competition,
companies just buy each other,
and government doesn't do anything. And then finally, they get to where there's two big ones, and then the government says, "Wait a minute, should we stop these last two?"
And then somebody says, "Oh no, you can't stop that one because you let the other one go."
Exactly.
Which is probably, can you think of a more ignorant comment?
What a lawyer is going to say, though. Yeah. Is that's going to be their whole position? Is you allowed these last three or four? Why is this any different? There's a precedent.
That's exactly right. You look for the precedent in your actions, and good intentions will always come back to hurt you. If you show compassion for one situation and not another one, 5 years later, you're going to get hung by the petard of that first one.
Well, except there used to be people who had some common sense that said, if the 19th biggest firm in the industry takes over the 18th to create the 16th, jump in the 17th, it's probably not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And I'll use that same logic when you get down to 3 and 4, now you got trouble.
I agree. I think it's always
I don't think there's any mergers should be allowed. How about that?
Well,
that would be my rule.
That's even more inefficient.
Then you want pure competition. Let's go.
Well, and again, that's a...
But Manny, what would you do then if there are two companies that are in the same area, same business area, and one of them starts to fail? What do you do? Do you allow them to just, do they have to die completely, or can their assets and things be bought by the bigger company?
I think you'd have to have a rule that says if they, you know, fail to a point where they say, you know, we're done, then they can be bought.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, that's what competition's all about.
Well, but
if you're not good enough, you fail.
I think that there's a there's got to be 10,000 bars in the city of Chicago. If one goes under, another guy buys them. I don't think it's the end of the world.
Well,
there,
see,
there's
I,
an ad, but, there, but there's but free if, bars and
you can't be soft on this, Chief. If you allow the 17th to buy the 16th, then you have to allow the 3rd to buy the 2nd.
I agree.
By a lawyer's opinion, that's what they're going to say.
All right, now you got first thing we have now. We want a lawyer's opinion, and we have a good lawyer.
Well, that's how it works, Chief.
You got two square circles.
If you allow the 17th to buy the 16th, then you have to allow the 9th to buy the 8th. Then you have to allow the 6th to buy the 5th, and then pretty soon if the 3rd's buying the 2nd, then what's the difference?
You shouldn't be allowed to force that, because there are counter arguments to that too. I mean, you don't want to just because you allowed it once, the circumstances have changed. The narrower you get, the more towards a monopoly you're going to get.
What's the cutoff?
When it comes down to
that's a very difficult question. Depends on which side you're arguing.
The test has been through the years a market size test. That if the combined entity isn't more than like 10% of the market, it's no big deal.
Well, that's fine. Then set a number.
Yeah, that's what I would do. But that's never. I mean, let's put it this way.
And that's always arbitrary. It's always an arbitrary number.
If two law firms got together, nobody'd care, because we've got 90 bazillion law firms and 40,000 lawyers. If you had two law firms in Jackson, Wyoming, and they got together, I think you got a problem.
Yep. But even in a city like Chicago, if two firms merge, there's often a lot of conflicts. Real conflicts among the client base. And I think the same thing is true with corporations, that you can have,
I'm talking about, Brendan and Associates and Greg and Associates, the two guys that are on the show.
Right.
But I'm talking about Winston and Strawn and somebody else, and that's a problem.
Yeah. It's always a matter of degree.
Yeah.
I mean, it always comes down to a matter of degree. That's why the argument about 4 buying 3 is different than 17 buying 16.
Right, but I think that this thing would
better put a number in place. Otherwise, it's always going to be allowed to happen.
I'll say this one. It's
like the Supreme Court. I'll know it when I see it.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. But God. SPV, you're still down 16.25. Back, Mr. Joel Uncannon.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Oh, wow, here's a number. Morgan Stanley says Tesla shares could drop to $10 in worst case scenario. Let's see, down from, we're down to 198. $10? Yeah, that would leave a mark. Good Lord. Hey, whatever. S&P futures up 14. NASDAQ futures up 50. We're down a little bit from when we came in, but still positive. Dow futures up 112. Over in Europe, these guys were down pretty heavy yesterday. And they're coming back virtually the same amount. DAX is up 121%. FTSE up 54.7. Get around up 32. The market's like a yo-yo with the puppet master up top being from the Oval Office. The world is a yo-yo dominated by Donald Trump. Good Lord. Nikkei down 29.1%. Shanghai up 35.2%. Hang Seng down 130.5%. We got oil. Oil is up 48 cents. 63.58. First is the highest it's been for a while. Brent up 34 cents. 72.41. RBEB 202. Actually, it's down a little bit. And we've got gold down 5.30 at 12.72. Silver down 7 cents. And we get the dollar keeps going up. So that's not good for gold. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We've had all kinds of issues on the Bishop Ford this morning. It was closed due to an accident on the inbound side. The Bishop Ford is still mostly closed, and the exit ramp at 159th Street and Sibley getting on I-94 is also affected by this. So you want to avoid the Bishop Ford if at all possible right now. A significant crash blocking all lanes on I-94 coming inbound right near Sibley there on the south side. So that's a major issue that's been affecting traffic all morning. But so you have normal traffic volumes, or I should say extra volume on the other south side expressways, probably because of this, on the Dan Ryan and I-57. Traffic building on the Stevenson, but nothing out of the ordinary there. Same with the Eisenhower. Kennedy and Eden's looking okay, although slow travel times due to the rain in the forecast. Off the expressways, Indiana Toll Road, I-90 East at Klein Avenue on the Indiana side, just across the border, there is an accident. And out in the western suburbs, Clarendon Hills Road at Plainfield Road, there is a crash. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather-wise, though, it's our last miserable day for a while, so that's the good news. The bad news is we have to get through today. rain in the forecast, cold temperatures, a high of just 51 as we continue to be about 20 degrees below normal. Wind chills will be in the upper 30s or low 40s tonight for that Cubs game, weather permitting if they even play. Right now it's rainy and 47 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, overcast skies today with a high of 82. Right now it's clear and 57. In sports, Jake Arrieta made his first start at Wrigley Field as a non-member of the Chicago Cubs, and he pitched well, but got a no decision. Him and Yu Darvish went back and forth, but it was a late-game heroics by Real Muta and the Phillies that outlasted the Cubs 5-4 in 10 innings. Cubs blew a couple of leads in this one, led 1-0, then led again 4-3, but couldn't close them down due to a thin bullpen. So Cubs lose 5-4 in 10. White Sox were shut out down in Houston 3-0. The White Sox had now dropped 8 straight games to the Astros. They were 0-7 against Houston last year, 0-1 so far this year as they fell last night. Diamondbacks lost to the Padres 2-1. Lastly, the first half of our NBA Finals is now set as Golden State, even without Kevin Durant, had no problem with Portland, sweeping the Blazers 119-117 in Game 4 last night. So Golden State will take on the winner of Milwaukee and Toronto in the NBA Finals. Chief.
Payback for 2005 with the White Sox and the Astros right now.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, the Astros got a pretty good team. You think they're the chalk in the American League, or is it still the Bo Sox?
I think it's the Astros, absolutely. I think the Yankees are better than the Red Sox.
Really?
I do.
All right. Joel, how are you, buddy?
Well, they will be when they get healthy.
Joel?
Good morning, Chief. How you doing on this Tuesday morning?
All right. Was your horse the one that ran without the jockey?
You know, it's funny. I knew you were going to bring that up. That was actually an illegal start, and they said it real quickly on TV. But you know, theoretically, I've never seen it in a thoroughbred race. But man, that was not a fair start. That horse was not stable. I don't think he really interfered with anybody. But they were thinking, oh my God, after the debacle in the Derby, we can't have any controversy on it. So. Didn't look like he ran into my horse. My horse was just a pig and didn't run a good race. Warren Will stuck on the rail, great trip, and just guided home. So it was a nice race. Paid 6-1 is the second favorite. But, yeah, that was something at the start.
Well, so, all right, what exactly happened?
Well, the horses act up in the gate. They get in there. You know, he might have been one of the first horses in the gate, and they're in a confined area. They don't like waiting, and, you know, they just get a little bit nervous. So he bucked, and then he came down, and the starter officially should have said, you know, made sure he was still, but he didn't. So I guess it didn't interfere with really any other horses. He ran the race by himself, so it just, you know, these are really sensitive animals, and, you know, it could have been a fly or, you know, just a little bit nervousness in the gate.
Well, I mean, my significant other, Audrey, who's been on the show a bunch of times, she likes her horses. I like to bet on them. That's about as close as I want to get, but she loves them, and she pretty much says the idea of riding a three-year-old stallion. If it was your horse, you know, they ride these guys when they're 2-year-old. You almost wouldn't even be riding a horse if it's 2-year-old was yours, let alone racing it. I mean, they're real young.
They're
I mean, wonder why.
They're sensitive animals.
I mean, you wonder why the whole, you know, however many hundred years ago, they just, the Derby wouldn't have been like for 4-year-olds instead of 3-year-olds. I mean, it would make an incredible more sense, but these things live till they're 30. It's not like they're, you know, they're living till they're 7. Just saying, you know. Anyway, what do you make of the, are you doing, I won't ask it that way. Would you like to be doing the trading out of the White House?
I'm actually co-locating a server there to pick up his tweets, so a little bit quicker. Who needs to be at the exchanges? We've been talking about it for quite some time here, and, I mean, you just come in every day and you see which way he tweeted or which way China retaliated, and that's the direction of the market for days. It will end someday. I just don't know when.
Aren't you a little bit? Are we going to the extreme here, where we're gonna strangle Huawei yesterday and we let them off the hook today? 24 hours, Joel.
I, you got to be consistent, you know, with your policy on that. And it's kind of almost like a automatic reaction. You know, negative things happen, he softens up, or it's hard. It makes it hard. You just got to kind of put the blinders on, so to speak, as you do in horse racing, and not let it affect your long-term investing. If you're short-term trading, then you just got to take your lumps when these things come out and move on to the next trade.
Well, if you're fortunate enough to come in yesterday, because the market was up Sunday night, I mean, for a little while, not huge.
But it was.
If you were, whatever, clairvoyant enough to have sold futures and then like went to bed, which is hard to do because you can't really do options the night before where you get limited risk. But if you were to sell futures and came in yesterday, I don't see how the hell yesterday on the close, how you don't cover, Joel. I mean, why would you ever leave one out there 2 days in a row?
You could put orders in the futures, you know, overnight to exit positions and whatnot, but I think what you're saying is just a consolidating market. You know, the shorts, you know, they get these big windfalls overnight and they take it. And then, you know, let's see. On the upside, it's a little bit different. We'll see what happens with up open. But, I mean, you have a lot of short-term, intermediate-term traders, and especially on the short side. I mean, you get those kind of windfalls overnight. It's just like, it's almost like automatically that you're going to take them. So we're actually calming down after after the bad news last week or so. We're holding the lows from last week. So as long as we hold those lows from last week, I still think you got to keep your bullish hat on.
Well, your VIX is down to under 16. It's under 15.5. So the market thinks this is all just 20 points one way or the other without really much danger going much further.
Yeah.
That's what it's telling
you. 20 points?
Yeah, what's 20 points?
You know, what's 20, 30 points in this market with an index, you know, almost at 3,000? It's nothing. I mean, it's normal. It's low when it's up 15 or 20. I think we had a 30, 35 point range last night, and then you have the opens. They bring everything back in line in the cash, and then you just get a lot of chop during the regular session. Very, very hard to maneuver.
All right, bud. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you next week. S&P futures up 13.25, NASDAQ futures up 46. Be right back, Mr. Kenny Polcari.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello, North Bank Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Brendan Cornan, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Kenny Polcari. S&P futures up 14. NASDAQ futures up 49. As we were going to absolutely undress Huawei yesterday. Google's cutting them off totally. Bad things. Guess what? Today, they're back in. Google reverses decision. Huawei gets a little bit of time to become a good boy. People in the White House maybe bought some Spos. We don't know. But if they didn't, though, they got to be really dumb. Kenny, how are you? That's the world I see. Just saying.
I'm good. But you know, you should make it clear that Google, it wasn't so much that Google reversed the decision. The administration granted the relief, which then allowed Google to reverse that decision, right? So I think that's important as well because, you know, the relief came from the administration, which is going to cause this rally that you're seeing today, right? Back right across the tech names. All the names that got punished yesterday and kind of beaten up, those will all rally today based on what you just said, right? They're going to have 6 month reprieve. They're going to try to get this stuff together. Trade talks will supposedly continue. So maybe that's a little bit of a breakthrough. Maybe the rhetoric that is that's heating up between the U.S. and China over the most recent actions, whether it's increasing tariffs on both sides, whether it's the Huawei ZTE thing. Maybe that's going to soften up a little bit and bring everyone back to the table and kind of allow this conversation to go. So, you know, again, you're going to see more volatility like we've been talking about. And until there's clarity, you'll continue to see it because yesterday the tone was negative. This morning the headlines are positive. Tomorrow the tones could be negative again.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Joel about it. If you look at the underpinnings of the market, Kenny, what I'm seeing right now, and this is, I don't think this is all that healthy, but, it looks to me like the market is perpetually the 10 minutes before a Fed announcement, where the markets are incredibly wide, waiting for something, and our number seems to be 20 spoos. I mean, that's what, if we flip one way or the other, we're 20 spoos. So really, the market is 20 spoos wide, yet, if you take that into account, your VIX and people's impression of it going much wider than that is actually coming down because the VIX is under 15 and a half. I don't think you've ever seen anything quite like this, have you? Where the short-term market is so, I mean, the next 2 hours, it's like a perpetual announcement day.
But I think that's just because of where we are right in this kind of news cycle because 2 weeks ago or 2.5 weeks ago, it was all about, you know, we're moments away from a deal. And then all of a sudden, we're not only moments, we're beyond moments away. Now we're days, weeks, and even what appears to be months away from a deal. And so therefore, the market, you know, is very sensitive to that, right? Because a lot of the action has been driven by the expectation that we're getting a deal. We're getting a deal. We're getting a deal. Everybody said we're making great strides. We're making great progress. Oh, everything, everyone's, you know, huggy kissy at the table. And then all of a sudden, they're not. And so, you get the volatility the way it is, right? It's going to be very, very sensitive to the headlines. And it's not going to, you know, once again, the focus has shifted from kind of the underlying fundamentals back to, you know, the headlines on trade. And the headlines on trade, whether it's with Europe, whether it's with Europe, whether it's with Mexico and Canada, or whether it's with China.
Well, but the fundamentals, that unfortunately is starting to cut underneath the market where people are saying, I had a couple guys over the weekend, Kenny, were saying that the tariffs at the current level are essentially three times worse than any kind of tax relief people think they got 2 years ago.
No, that's right, and I agree with you, and so that's why I think then the fundamentals, if this really drags on for another, you know, 2 months or through the summer, I think then you're going to start to see the fundamentals change. You're going to start to see the macro data that we report start to be impacted. And listen, people have warned about that. People are concerned about it. Right now, I still think that the U.S. economy is robust enough that, you know, we can power through at least for a while longer. But, you know, if this gets stale and stagnates, then I would have to reevaluate, right?
Well, I don't want to get involved in our usual discussion with the inflation, but from a few people I talked to that are in businesses where the Chinese are part of it, and we saw the Morgan Stanley article, I think it was a week ago Sunday, where they said that all their estimates on how much the Chinese would have to absorb by these tariffs were all wrong. That they're not absorbing anything, prices are just going up.
Right, prices are going up. Prices are going up, and so ultimately maybe what that does is, you know, it damps demand, right? That's ultimately what will happen, I suppose, is that prices go too high, you're not going to buy it.
Well, I have two specific company questions for you. One, because I'm totally clueless and I have a bunch of clients that have it. What the hell do I tell people about Apple? Kind of in the middle of this mess. I don't know. Are they going to be, if the Chinese get totally pissed off, is Apple going to be our Huawei or what? I don't think so, but I have no idea what to tell these people. Can you help me?
I don't think so. Look, Apple, I mean, you're just taking a look at it on the chart. You know, it has come down, it has come in a lot, right? We're down 20 points, almost 30 points from the most recent high back in May. Listen, I don't think so, right? Now, that just could be me, I suppose. I suppose China could put the pressure on Apple, but I don't know. I don't see that. I see this with the Apple back off. More as an opportunity, just because I like Apple, right? I like Apple. I think it's a name you got to own and be in. And so, therefore, no, I don't think it's going to be another Huawei.
You're not concerned at all that even though China might not want to hurt them, and we may not want to hurt them, but they're kind of the church between the two mortar shells.
Well, listen, I think you have to be concerned for tech in general, right? Whether it's Apple or any of the supply chain names that you have been on a list. You certainly in this environment have to be somewhat concerned, but I do think names like Apple, I think Apple's such a tremendous company that, you know, given pullbacks like this and opportunities like this, I think you have to choose your points, right? Don't go all in at any one point, and you gotta watch the news, you gotta be dynamic, but no, I wouldn't necessarily run away from Apple.
If I were to ask you a revenue at Home Depot climbed 5.7%, same store sales were up, 2.3%. I'm going to say if you included inflation in there, where are you going with this? Do you think they're even up?
I think they're probably up, but not up as much as it appears when you look at those numbers, because I do think, certainly like it is every spring, you know, people kind of go through that home improvement thing, whether they're selling the house, whether they bought a new one, they're just improving. So I do think that sales are up. But I don't necessarily think, because I think a lot of that is inflation, I don't think it's up as much as it would appear on the front line, right, when you look at the top line number.
Okay, well, I'll rephrase. Let's say they're up 3%. What do you think the inflation, if you really counted the inflation, is the inflation up or down 3%?
No, I think that's fair. I think up 3% is right. I would guess it's about right.
Right. I mean, I would say that I'm going to say that I shop there a lot. I'm going to say stuff from last year If I went back and looked at my receipts, got to be up 5 to 6.
You think they're up that much? Yeah. I haven't been to Home Depot very recently. I just haven't been.
Well, there's been huge.
I'm not looking for it.
No, huge increases in stuff you get from Canada: plasterboard and the wood and all your little stuff, the screws, the tape, the glue, all that kind of whatever. We just don't really. Go ahead.
What's interesting is that the stock's not doing anything, right? It's actually quoted down 50 cents versus last night's close.
Yeah, I got it down $1.20. I got a 189.75. It shot up originally, I think. I mean, it's a good quarter. I think those guys are hanging in there pretty darn good, considering.
Yes. Yeah. No, I do too. And so, Home Depot's another name that we like, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's interesting. I guess I have to go snoop around a little bit. I just haven't been there in a long time because I'm not renovating my house or looking to improve it at the moment just because I sold it. So I haven't really been in paying attention. But I suppose I should just could take a ride over there and see what you're seeing and see if I agree.
Boy, if you're between houses, you're on top of the world, bud.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to figure out where. None of the infrastructure is there to let you know what the number is, Kenny, like it was when we had the inflation numbers. I mean, it's clearly not zero. I mean, but I'm not going to take the 3% rise in revenue per store and say it's all just increased sales. I mean, it's some number in there. I mean, whether it's one or two or three or six, I don't know, but they don't give you a clue.
But they don't break it out. Right?
No.
They don't break it out.
No, not at all. What
no, they just report the top line number. The top line number looks good, yet. You know, the market is not really responding. I just want to look and see what the stock has done.
So it's only down. It's
it's backed off, and it's certainly right in here between support and resistance in a range, and it feels like it's been now for a couple of weeks. My sense is though, they'll probably try to challenge the resistance level today.
Yeah, it seems like you're right, Kenny. We're getting kind of range bound as a market within all this wild moves. It's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, we are, and I actually said that in my notes today. You know, the fact is that all this noise and chatter is going on, but yet the S&P is only 4% off of its high, which was just, you know, a couple of weeks ago at 29 and change.
Yeah, we could get there pretty quick.
Considering everything that's going on, you know, the market's not collapsing. Certainly there are individual names that are getting beaten up more so than others, but overall the broader market seems to be still holding in there.
I think you're absolutely right. Kenny, thank you very much, buddy. Talk to you next week. S&P futures up 14.25. NASDAQ futures up 52. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Well, I'll pick Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tamari, Mr. Brennan Granny, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Exactly SP Futures up 1575. We're bullish today. NASDAQ Futures up 55. You don't really see this on the same page on the CNBC website, Matty. Yesterday, semi stocks slammed on Huawei crackdown. Six experts weigh in. Three articles up. Google reverses decision to cut ties with Huawei after U.S. eases restrictions. On the same page.
It's not like them to keep yesterday's articles up there.
No, it's if you're talking about what happened yesterday in the market, that's what happened. Somebody's got clobbered because of the Huawei thing, and here we are, a scant 14 hours later, and oh well, forget about that one. We're going this one, but we're kind of right back to the routine of up and down, but the market really is stabilizing within these movements, and a lot of it, Kenny, I think is right that the decision on the market is absorbing the fact that we're months away from any kind of decision on China, really, other than day to day up and down and posturing. And I think the market is in general settling down, I was trying to do some trades yesterday and sell some call premium and stuff, and I was finding the prices to be pretty cheap. I mean the XLE, with all the stuff that's going on in Iran and all the other stuff, you know, in the Persian Gulf, I mean, your volatility, your implied volatility, your XLE, which is the oil stocks of the S&P 500, is generally under 18. So the market is not predicting anything crazy here, Brendan. I mean, do you think the market's wrong or what? I mean, it's clearly predicting us, like, I won't say a slowdown, but in somewhat of a entering, they're not worried. The market, if you ever could make a statement like that, is clearly not worried about the Persian Gulf situation erupting, or else that volatility would be over 20, and it's not. Now, the market could be wrong, but why do you think everybody thinks that way? Just because we've been getting too many of this stuff back and forth, that people are we tired of it? Or are we ignoring it? Or we just think that's what's happening? One thing moves one day, and then they come back the next day and renege on it.
Well, don't you think that's going to be kind of a short-lived way to do business? I mean, if you know, if you're expecting something reverse the next day, why would you really trade on something expecting it to go back and trying to figure out what the real normal is?
Well, because you get to buy the market down 20 last night at 5-3, and you sell it out. You sell it up 16 points higher. It's a lot of dough.
Doesn't seem like a good way to do business.
I'm just saying that I used to, when I gave a lot of lectures, I would talk about one of the if you wanted to trade, especially when it came in with the nighttime trading and everything, made it very difficult to trade at night because your stop orders were, I wouldn't trust them necessarily at night, although it's gotten better. But if you actually wanted to make those trades and have essentially something behind you, I mean, if you're going to trade the E-minis or whatever, you would buy a straddle, the calls and the puts, in the SPY. This, if you want to do it somewhat intelligent. I'm not recommending this strategy because generally, I think you can't make enough scalping to cover the time decay. But sometimes you can. And we've been through one of those times, Brendan, where say you bought the straddle for, $3 and, you got 3 days to go. Now you've got essentially 3 days to scalp $3 in the E-mini. Okay. Which means if the market opens up way down, you're now a buyer because you've got puts. Okay. So all you do is flat yourself on the way down. If it comes up, then you can get rid of it and maybe hope it goes all over again. I mean, last Friday was a perfect example. If you'd have bought the straddle Thursday night, it was under $2. Friday morning, we came in and the spider's down 225. So if you bought it down 225, and it actually ran up on the day, okay, I'm saying you could have bought it down 225 and then still sold the straddle out. So you made sold the calls out because they were still at $1. So, I mean, you made $1 on it instantly. If you'd have traded it during the day a couple times, you'd make a couple dollars during the day. I mean, that's almost unheard of. Because usually you buy the straddle, nothing happens. That's why I could never really recommend that position to anybody. But once in a while, if you see the stuff moving at night, you can be an aggressive trader because you've got calls and puts behind you.
But what you're describing, maybe I'm cynical here, but what you're describing is happening in the market now, and it's happened recently based on everything that's responding to a tweet out of the White House on an almost daily basis.
Basically, short-term changes in policy, let's put it that way.
Okay. It seems to me like it's market manipulation.
Why not take advantage of it? I mean, it's just another market
because if you believe that market manipulation is wrong, you shouldn't take advantage of it.
Well, I mean, I what I'm saying is,
and something should be done about it. I mean, you can look for short-term gain that you're trading on the market. You're trading on what you think is going to come out of the White House tomorrow to reverse what happens today. But I mean, that's market manipulation. In a way that's trying to trigger Fed interest rates because the next tweet that comes out may affect the economy in a way that interest rates won't move or will move downward.
Okay, Mike, let me start from the top. Mr. Attorney, if I believe that some of the people in the White House are smart enough to realize that these, pieces of information emitting from the White House are tradable pieces of information. My opinion is that the people in this White House are smart enough to realize that they don't need me to tell them, and somebody somewhere maybe is taking advantage of it. Or maybe Trump's lobbing these out from the can in the morning. I don't know. Nobody even knows.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, they're there, but nobody wants to go in and talk to him about it while he's doing it. That could be happening too. I don't know. But I'm saying day after day, they are market moving events. They're like a Fed announcement. They're almost that. I mean, we have a deal with our biggest trading partner, or we don't. For God's sake, that's a market moving event. That part I'm convinced of. Now, whether or not, let's put it this way: if nobody in the White House is getting this information in time to trade, there's a few people there who wish they were. How's that for a statement? Now, what I'm saying is, I'm seeing the market down 20, up 20, down 20, up 20. And if I'm going to take advantage of this incredibly, wide type of thing, I'd love to be a buyer down 20 and a seller up 20, because it looks to me like over the last bunch of days that trade has been worthwhile. If you buy when it's down and you sell when it's up, it seems to come back to the mean. Well, all I'm saying is if somebody was my client and said, this is what I want to do, I would say, well, you're not doing it here unless you protect yourself first.
Right, I'm getting to a different point. It seems like what you're describing is trading on a tweet from the office. It doesn't even have reality on. It doesn't have economic reality. It's anticipation, and a tweet saying we're imminently close to a deal with China, coming from one person. we're imminently close to a deal with China. Then a couple of days later saying we're worlds apart.
Right.
Those tweets have consequences beyond what they should.
Yes.
And I think that's market manipulation, and I think that that's wrong.
I would agree with you. But we're not in the message tree. So we're not acting on the, what you're saying is that somehow we're getting the information and we're participating in the 20-point down.
No. I mean, everybody's getting the same information, but I'm talking about the source and the response of the source just on one person. It's not the market indicators. It's not the economic history of the last quarter, the last 6 months. It's one person's opinion that isn't really substantiated at this point.
It's
happens that he's the president. He's fond of Twitter, and everybody's responding to him. I mean, it's analogous to a monarchy where the king says, off with their heads today, put their heads back on tomorrow.
Right. Well, like I said, from a market perspective, it's like a Fed announcement every day.
Well, I think it's worse than a Fed announcement.
Well, but I'm saying a market-moving event.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm saying is if normally, for you to protect yourself, buy the premium levels, buy the calls and the puts. If you buy a call and a put, you're looking for a big move in the market, okay? So if you buy the straddle for $2, you need the thing to move more than $2 to make money, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what you're saying is, how can I, when the president says something or tweets something, and all of a sudden the S&Ps are down 20, how can I be a buyer down 20 like I'd like to be, because I think it's going to come back. It seems to be coming back. But I don't really want to just, before I go to bed, buy it down 20 and wake up and have it down 50 and I'm broke. Mm-hmm. And how do I protect myself? What I'm saying is the only way to do that is before you decide you want to buy or sell your futures or whatever you're doing, your spiders, you need to protect yourself by buying, in essence, for that trading insurance. Well, it's not insurance. I'm saying you need to cover yourself. In other words, I need to have the puts beforehand or the calls beforehand. Although that way I'm not naked ever. So what I'm saying is if there's two ways to do this, one would be with a real lot of risk and one with not so much risk. And I'm saying if you're ever going to trade here, it would be the not so much risk kind. You know what I'm saying? And normally you would not tell people to do that. But once in a while, you know, I mean, you could have been a buyer here and seller. I mean, you can do this every day now, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the minute I do that, it'll stop, right? I mean, it's just the way the market is. I mean, if all of a sudden you say, really, I could do that, and you open up an account today and you buy the straddle 25 times, I guarantee tomorrow we'll walk in, everything's unchanged. I mean, that's the main way the market work. I mean, if you could trade the last week or two, we'd all be rich, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if this is going to keep happening, and if they're going to give me that price of insurance cheap, like, you know, next week, well, not this week because we're going on the holiday weekend, so things would tend to wind down here. But if it's a regular week, if I can buy the straddle for $2 on Wednesday morning and say, wait a minute, I get 2 days to hope that the White House does something crazy and we move more than $2, I'm going to say I think we have a very strong chance of having at least a $2 move in the SPY in the next 3 days. Now, normally I would say, we went, what, a whole 2 years without a 1%, a year and a half, without a 1% move in the market? Now we're getting a 1% move every day. Now that will change, okay? And then we'll have another period where we won't have a 1% move. If you would have done the strategy I'm talking about from the last couple of years of the Obama administration, you'd have been carried out feet first. The thing never moved. Now if you'd have been doing this the last month and a half, good Lord, you've made a lot of dough. But timing is everything, Brendan. So what I'm saying is not. To be, actually, you know what? I don't. You're the attorney. What the hell are you asking me for? I'm going to say that if somebody from the White House trades from there, that somehow or another, how many fat people can dance in the head of a pin? It's probably not illegal. It's certainly immoral. And if you and I did it, and on worse information, somebody would find a way to throw us in jail. But I'm going to say they're not. Congress has an exemption. Congress staff has an exemption. From insider trading. I don't know how strong it is. I mean, we need to get a legal person who's specialized in that area, but I think they've got an exemption.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they passed a bill in early in the Obama administration. You know what? If anybody knows the answer to this, please tweet in. Maddie, I think you know this. Didn't they pass a bill? There was a big outrage about it. Congress, people trading from Congress, and they passed a bill saying they couldn't trade or on information. And I'm thinking 4 to 5 months, 4 to 5 years later, and Obama signed it, they reneged on that bill when it was real quiet, and I think they can do it again. Hey, Google legality of congressional insider trading. I think they're gonna find out it's fine. So there you go, Brendan. So name me the attorney who's going to take your case if you've got this moral high ground here.
There'll always be somebody out there. There are public interest lawyers who will do that.
That will take a case against people in the White House trading on a president's tweets.
Well, maybe not that one.
Yeah, I'm saying maybe not that one. I mean, you know, but yeah, it's there's no we're talking about an entire group that appears to me to be amoral.
Yes.
And that's the world we live in. What do you mean it's immoral? It's not illegal, is it?
Well, see, that goes back to one of the comments that I've made before many times, that just because something is legal doesn't mean that it's right. And it irks
me. Yeah,
and you're
now my age, and we're not going to be around for another 100 years, and everybody can't wait to see us leave.
That's right. That's right. And when the law is designed by the people who are going to benefit from it, the fact that something is legal does not make it right. When somebody is asked about certain actions, what's the first response? Well, I acted within the law. This goes back to example one of the stories that you talk about all the time with people who are double dipping their pensions or who double or triple their pensions for one day of work in a certain entity. That's wrong.
Yep.
I mean, it's morally indefensible. And yet, what's the response that you get? Well, I acted within the law. All I did was like any good business person would. I took advantage of what the law provided.
What was the? Maddie, help me with this. There was evidently a lot of the municipalities have gotten together now and have stopped the practice. But I think they were having a deal where if you were a teacher or a supervisor or superintendent or whatever, if they gave you an $800 bonus
mm-hmm.
in your last paycheck, which doesn't seem like a lot, if you applied that to the pension formula, it was $20,000 a year.
Yeah, the numbers were outrageous.
12 grand a year or 15.
Yep.
It was like, and so they were doing that to people virtually all across the page.
Well, they did it to some people who were long term employees, but they effectively doubled or tripled the amount of their pension by a one-time bonus or a one-time...
But it was less than $1,000.
Yeah, it was a small amount, yeah. But then you have to annualize that and compare that to, you know, what... You know, like $800 a month times 12, it's like a $7,000 raise, but in some cases the proportion was even much higher than that. So that effectively when you added in the amount that they...
It had to do with something about they averaged your last three paychecks, and
yep.
One of the paychecks was up $800, essentially drove you up... you know, whatever.
By a lot.
$350 a paycheck, which is, you know, $700 a month, which is times 12, which is about $8,500. And so if you got 85% of that, it was like a $7,000 goose in the pension with an $800 payment.
Mm-hmm.
How's that for math? That's not so bad for an old guy this hour of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It would give you like a $7,000 bump with an $800. So the municipality only came up with the $800, and the $7,000 a year came from the state.
Right. For the pension program.
And, you know, and you can, as much as people complain, you know, rag on the city of Chicago, which they should, the simple fact is the people in the city of Chicago, their pension plans are their own. And they also pay into the state pension plan.
Right.
For the teachers.
Yep.
I think other people too, like park district people and policemen.
Around the state?
Yeah.
Could be. I don't remember that exactly.
It's the same. What's happened, what I'm saying here, is that if you, I use my own hometown, Evergreen Park. Evergreen Park, people pay into the pension plan, but they're not a big enough municipality where they run their own pension plan.
It's not that. I mean, the deal was that the state pays for the pension of municipal employees, teachers specifically. They've got a fund that covers teachers throughout the state. When Daley took over the schools in 1995, part of the deal was that, yes, you get autonomy over the Chicago Public Schools and the Board of Education of the City of Chicago, and in exchange, you also take on responsibility for the pension program. We're going to take pensions out of the state funding and make it completely within the domain of the City of Chicago.
Right, so why do the people of the City of Chicago have to pay for other people's pensions?
Well, that was part of the deal, too, that they didn't get out of the obligation. They wound up paying for both.
Why would anybody make that stupid deal?
Why would the parking meter deal be done?
Yeah, I mean, that's so
bad. Deals are made more often than not.
But that's a horrendous deal. We pay for our people and your people.
Yes. I'm not arguing that it's a good deal or a bad deal. I'm telling you what happened.
But it's not whether it's good or bad. It's beyond the definition of bad. Am I wrong?
The same argument goes for the Constitutional Convention in 1970 when things were put in there, like the flat income tax. That there were reasons that it was put in there. Whether it's a good deal or a bad deal, I'm not arguing that point right now. But you know, that was one of the things. The pension protection was another thing. Home rule was another contentious issue that allows municipalities of over a certain size or who vote in home rule powers to be able to be their own mini legislature. That's why the City of Chicago has broad powers to impact things that relate to the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens, which includes taxing powers.
Well, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that in Evergreen Park, back to Evergreen Park, the teachers and whoever contribute to this pension program, right?
Right.
And then at the end of the day, if we like Matt Weber and he retires and we give him a $10,000 bonus, which ups his pension, you know, by God knows how much, the $10,000 is on us in Evergreen Park. Everything after that is on the state. Correct?
Correct.
Although I believe that in some very egregious things, the state has gone back to these municipalities and said, this is such of an outlier, you guys have to pay for half it or two-thirds of it, and then the municipalities actually have done so.
I don't know how successful that's been. I know there have been attempts to challenge it, but I don't know.
I think that some of those municipalities have picked it up and said, okay, we'll pay it. Well, they're people's money, of course. It's not like the people who voted for it have to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's you go back to the rest of the town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't really see. I congratulate Lori Lightfoot yesterday for being inaugurated and winning. I don't see how she's got a chance on this. I mean, I don't. Numbers are just too big, Brendan.
Oh, they're horrific. I mean, in another couple of years, they've got to come up with an additional $1 billion a year just to fund the pensions.
Well, I'm just somewhere along the line, the idea of continually paying people that don't work. I'm not talking about the people that are 75 or 80. I'm talking about the people that are 56 and 57 and have another job.
Mm-hmm.
People are tired of that.
Yes. And, you know, it used to be, this has been cut back a bit, but it used to be that people could resign a position from city government, a month later come back as a consultant, effectively in the same job, draw your pension and draw your salary as a consultant.
You do that in the military, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, what about the people who get, why, I know the guy, I know him from before, now he works for the Secretary of State Securities Department. I won't say anything else. The guy got his 10 years in for the county, now he's working for the state. Now, does that get him two pensions?
There is reciprocity between, well, depending on what area of the state he's in, yes, there is reciprocity. He's still building on his pension.
I'm talking about building. Is he? Did he qualify for the county, and now this is a new one?
I think he's got to be at the state for a certain period of time to vest in that pension.
Right.
But yes, once he vests,
he will end up with two.
He'll be able to get two.
And we do this why?
It wasn't well thought out as far as allowing, but it also means that it allowed for what it was intended to do was allow somebody, not in the exact case you're talking about, but somebody who's got 5 or 6 years, for example, say this is a 10-year vesting period, and somebody works for the city government for 5 years or 6 years. If they were to jump to the state or if they were to jump to the county, they would lose that 5 or 6 years towards vesting. if there's reciprocity and you can add to that, you can tack on your time.
That I have no problem with. Reaching to the point where you qualify in one and go to another and qualify again for two separate pensions, I think, is abominable.
I'm not arguing with that. And why they would do that is that you treat the person once he or she starts their new job or the new entity, going, you know, they vest in 10 years at the city, they go to the state, and 10 years later they vest again and they get another pension. They're seen as starting a new job, as if they never had the pension with the first entity.
Ah. There's a guy in my hood that, well, I don't talk to him as much since poor Scruff died, my dog, but tell me if this could even possibly be true. This guy's got nothing but dough. He's a real big developer, real smart guy. Although one night, they raised all the taxes, and I was talking to him about the taxes are too high, and he was saying how they really aren't that high. Okay, now the guy's got more money, like I said, than Jabba the Hutt, but just when he said it, I said, you know, I'm not saying they're so high, but most of the people here have to send their kids to private school because the schools aren't very good. This is a while back before you had, you know, some of the magnet schools and so forth that it's even hard to get into. I said, plus there's not enough parks. The roads pretty much suck. And by the way, we've got rats all over the neighborhood. And nobody seems to get rid of those. Just on cue, a rat ran right by us. I go, just like that guy. Anyway, but it kind of depends on how you look at it on the tax piece. But I don't see, you know, this getting that we can raise much more. I mean, I really don't, Brent. And now we're talking about doubling all the fees on automobiles and so forth. I mean, you know, what happens to the, I think these people steal all, not steal. I mean, they misappropriate the dough. I mean, it was suppose, for instance, we decide we're an infrastructure program on the Illinois River. There has not been a new block and dam built other than the one in the Mississippi, which I guess we probably shared with Iowa. On the Illinois River, I'm going to say there's 7-8 locks and dams. There's not been a new one built since the Depression. Every time those guys diesel up their towboats, they pay a tax to maintain the locks and dams. There hasn't been a new one ever. So someplace that money's gone. Now, I have to believe that one of these days, Pritzker, because that's his ilk, you know, just tax, 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 he's going to say, we're going to do something on the lock and dams. We need to triple all the taxes the barge owners pay. Okay, fine. But what happened to the 80 years that you never did anything? Mm-hmm. Where did that money go?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there should be some massive vat of cash. You know, I mean, I'm saying I don't have a problem with raising the gas tax, but what happened to the 19 or 15 cents I'm already paying? Give me an accounting of that, what mm-hmm. you did with it before you double it on me. Don't just say, what, is that all stolen? That's all spoken for? If we actually going to build a bridge, we need more because that's all going in people's pockets? I mean, what are you doing with what you have? We don't, nothing ever like that. We just need more.
Mm-hmm.
But some point, you have to be able to recognize that your people, the people you represent, don't necessarily have more. And I think people are getting to that tipping point here, Brent.
Well, you know, that was what you just described is a good part of what put us in the pension situation we are now, where municipalities did not have to contribute to the pension fund because they were flush. And so they took the money that was allocated for pension payments and used it to pay salaries.
Well, and the unions,
several years.
The unions are not harmless at this. A couple times took it for I would say the years they took it for salary increases, that those years alone, if I was going to sue based on this, I'm not an attorney, if I was going to sue this pension law in the state of Illinois, I'm going to say you can decrease it by the years that the unions were complicit in not putting the money in there.
That would be a very good argument, and I agree with that. I agree with the theory and the thought behind that.
Doesn't mean it won't
happen.
Well, you got to get out of state. You can't have one of these crooked judges here that are in the same plan because you're cutting their pension too. How can they try that case?
Well, that was exactly one of the arguments against the Supreme Court decision of a couple of years ago where they said you couldn't diminish the rights.
Yeah, of their own pension.
Yeah, it affected their pension.
SP Futures. Up 14.50, been in that same spot. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tomorrow, Mr. Brennan Garnett, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P Futures now up 1550. NASDAQ Futures up 53. Dow Futures up a bunch, up like 125. Boeing up 771 is out of the blue. I wasn't there, I don't know. Out of the blue, Matt Weber. Birds now, the cause of one of those crashes.
Birds?
For all this time, do you believe that?
I would say it's for the birds.
Yeah, now it's up 870. God bless, I gotta get in this manipulate the market thing. It's illegal for me to do it. I can't do it, Brennan. Even if I could figure out how to do it, it'd be illegal. I'm just saying.
Yep.
Over in Europe, we've got $8, $9 now it's up. Where did these birds come from? Whatever.
Well, we're, the DAX up 114. It's a full percent.
What came first, the bird or the egg?
Yeah, it's, that is the truth. FTSE up 37.5. CAC around up 26.5. The over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 29. Call that flat. Shanghai up 35. It's 1.2%. 2905 back up over 2900. Hang Seng up down 130.5%. We've got oil up 26 cents over 63.36. Brent up 27, 72.22. Natural gas 263, down 4 cents actually. RBOB 201. And we've got gold down again, down $6, 1271. It's pretty much gone through any sort of support. I'm losing my faith in this gold. Silver down 6 cents. Maybe I should have done it a long time ago. 1438. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports, Manny?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Well, we have some good news that the Bishop Ford has finally reopened at Sibley. That was closed for the majority of the morning due to a significant crash that had the Bishop Ford completely blocked. It was a three-vehicle crash at Sibley. But now the accident has been moved to the exit ramp. So the eastbound 159th Street exit ramp is partially blocked right at the inbound I-94 Bishop Ford freeway. So keep that in mind, but you can at least get through there. And that's been causing all kinds of issues on the south side. And it's been affecting the Ryan and I-57 and everything else down there, too. So longer than normal travel times coming in on the south side, but at least some good news. They made some progress on getting that accident cleared. Stevenson and Eisenhower are building steadily, as are the Edens and Kennedy, but no accidents to report. We do have a crash, western suburbs, Finley Road at Madison Street, out near Lombard and that area. Also, it looks like we have an issue, Kedzie at 58th Street. There is an accident on the south side. Still dealing with that issue on the Indiana Toll Road, just across the border. The off-ramp to eastbound Klein Avenue is closed. That appears to be due to road construction, but that's causing us some issue on the toll road. But everything else is looking okay out there. Weather today, lots of clouds, some rain in the forecast, although it's dry right now. Very cold temperatures, but this is our last cold day, and then we warm up significantly beginning tomorrow. We'll reach a high of just 51 degrees today with rain on and off. Right now it's overcast and 48 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, overcast skies with a high of 82 today. Right now it's clear and 58. In sports, Cubs blew a couple of leads en route to a 5-4 loss in 10 innings last night. Jake Arrieta got a standing ovation in his return to Wrigley Field, first time starting at Wrigley as a non-member of the Cubs. But the Phils get the win. White Sox were shut out in Houston 3-0. Diamondbacks lost to the Padres 2-1. And Golden State took care of Portland even without Kevin Durant. They swept the Blazers. 119-117 was the final in overtime for Game 4. They'll await the winner of the Milwaukee-Toronto series that the Bucks currently lead 2-1.
Chief. Even if is the hockey tonight the sixth game in the Western thing?
I think it is, yeah. The Blues lead the Sharks 3-2.
No, the other,
or the other one.
Blues got their behind kicked in St. Louis 5-0 in Game 5.
Didn't Boston sweep?
It was
the
opposite,
one?
Actually.
Yeah.
The Blues kicked the Sharks' butt 5-0 in San Jose.
Are you sure you're right about that? Because the headline was it was the worst Blues home loss in playoff history or something.
No, it was the Sharks. Yeah.
All right, so if that one goes off tonight, the other one doesn't start till Monday?
That sounds about right. The NBA was worried that both of their conference final series were going to be sweeps, and then there'd be 9 days off between the last game and the first game of the finals. But luckily, the Raptors won Game 3 and are kind of back in that series.
But we've lost all common sense. Back in the day, the World Series used to start 2 days after the pennants were completed.
Yeah, Game 6 between the Sharks and the Blues is tonight. Like I said, Blues lead the series 3-2. That's a 7 o'clock Chicago time puck drop in St. Louis. So St. Louis looking to close that out. And then there's no game on Wednesday. So the Boston series must be over.
Yeah, Boston swept 4-0.
Yeah, swept 4-0. I don't know why you were bringing up the other series.
Well, I'm pointing out the difference, how long Boston has to go without a game.
Right, yeah, they swept Columbus.
So even if this one ends tonight.
Or Carolina, sorry.
Even if this ends tonight. They're not going to do anything for another 5 days.
Yeah, it looks like
Monday night.
Game 7 would be Thursday if the Sharks win, and then Game 7 would be Thursday in San Jose, and then you're right, Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals is scheduled for Monday night in Boston.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a lot. Do you think you'd just wait a couple days after the after they're over and you start, but you can't do that. We have schedules.
Well, effectively, yeah. I mean, I think it would be the right thing to do is that no matter if both teams swept, you start the games 2 or 3 days later instead of waiting for 9 or 10 days.
I agree.
John, how are you?
Doing good. How about you, folks?
Doing good.
We have a couple of tweets here. Right. Bob writes in, Chief, no one will run the Wells Fargo, you know, they're looking for a CEO, for a paltry $15 to $20 million a year. He says, if you turn down a $20 million a year job, are you in the workforce or are you out of the workforce?
I think you're out of the workforce. I think you're out of the Well, you probably got somebody hunting for you, so you're actively looking. But they're not counting you because I'm sure the guy's not in unemployment.
Yeah, I know. I just thought that was pretty funny.
The, well, you know, that's, I should not, Carl, I'm, you know, I talk about love him and hate him. I love him because, God, he's a spectacular guest, and I really like the guy. But other than that, the thing he pointed me on with that piece of paper, every time somebody says something on TV, it pisses me off. I mean, that's just no way to be. Where I look at this, we had guys yesterday, the unemployment rate is like never been this low. God, it's spectacular. They're doing such a spectacular job. These numbers are so bizarre. Anyway, I was looking at it again yesterday. What possesses me to do this? I have no idea. But if you look at there's the columns of people that are not working, Brendan and Jan and Maddie, in 2008, when all this, or say our worst year of unemployment was when we were 9.6 was 2010. Say 2009, we got 81 million people that aren't working, and we don't know what the hell they're doing. Well, some are in school and so forth. We have 14 million allegedly unemployed and looking. Okay, so we're up to 96 million people that aren't working for some reason. Today, we've got 96 million in this no man's land column. So we're up 17 million people over there, and we're down 9. We're saying only 5.8 million now are actually looking for work. But the other column is up almost 20 million people. We haven't gone anywhere in terms of people who should be working and aren't. I mean, it all has to do with whether you decide they're looking or not. I mean, these numbers it's not like they're even and you could say, well, hey, a lot of people are it's way worse than it was in 2009 if you look at just the amount of people that are actually in the workforce and aren't working. And yet, everybody talks about this 5.8 million out of, you know, 5.8 million, talk about the tail that's wagging the dog. Yeah, 96 million people not working, and 5.8 million you're considered looking for a job, and those are the only people you count, and you totally ignore the other 96. Yeah, it's sort of crazy.
It's interesting, funny numbers. David writes in: listeners are starting to suspect that the Chief and David Andelman have a super secret trade on the corn markets. Is that true?
I'm going to say that if corn gets down, this is one I'll say. Talk about a story. When I first got out of grad school, my cousin knows a guy who was an accountant at United Airlines with him. I won't say the name, but I'll say the company he worked for. People know the area, know what I'm talking about. He opens up a pizza joint and it goes under. Then he opens up a dry cleaners and it goes under. He comes down to the trading floor, gets a partner. They buy a little brokerage firm on the Mid-America Commodity Exchange, which is over in the Insurance Exchange Building, Maddie. Talk about a crummy little floor. Wow. You never thought there was a trading floor over there, but there was. And within 2 years, they got I don't know what they did, where they went out in the countryside and went from farm to farm, but they ended up getting their revenue was up to $2 million in like 1 year. So this guy becomes the trader, and the other guy becomes this very famous money manager, who I won't mention. And he says, well, you should probably go just get a regular job, you know, for a while, because all I can do is make you a runner, and you probably don't want to do that. I can only make you pay you $500 a month. But, you know, I really like you, and you're a pretty smart kid. I wouldn't mind having you around. I teach you some stuff. So then he goes, I'm long 3 million ounces of silver, and I'm long 3 million bushels of corn. And he's there. It's like 350, and he bought them around 250. This is when I first learned the lesson of they were down that day from 350 to 310. And he goes, I'm down like $300,000. I said, well, you're not really down. You bought them, you know, whatever. He goes, that's not the way to look at it, kid. I'm down today. I could have sold them yesterday. You mark yourself to market every day if you're a real trader. You don't say, I bought the stock at 60, it went to 120, it's still 90, I'm still ahead. You're down 30 from when it was 120. Get that through your head. He's, that's the first guy who told me that. And anyway, so he would say, whenever anybody's absolutely convinced that it's never going up again, somewhere along the line here this summer, I will maybe agree with David that somewhere along in here this corn's a buy. Or soybeans. I mean, if they're under $8, somewhere in there, and I can't tell you the price, somewhere in there they're a buy. Because this too will change, I think, and the world needs more soybeans. Now, of course, I'll be 4 months early, John, like I always am, but, I mean, someday, somewhere, people are going to want our soybeans again. I mean, maybe long after Trump's out of the White House, I don't know, but someday, somewhere, people are going to want soybeans. I mean, do you agree or not, John? I mean, I...
Of course. Someday, somebody, they're going to want the soybeans, of course.
Now, the question is, do I buy this year at $8.50 and they go out at $8? Make sure I buy at $8, they go out at $7.50, and finally, 8 years from now, I make 50 cents, but I'm still down. I mean, but, you know, the pick and the bottoms are really tough, but grains are a different commodity. Or, how's that for a stupid sentence? They are different than, there's a cost to grain, and, my brother Dan spent 5 years on the New York, on the trading floor trading soybean options. And he said the first day he was down there, some old fart comes by, and of course, probably as old as you and me now, but at that time he was an old fart, now we're young, right? He says, son, let me tell you, corn costs $2.50 a bushel. If it's under $2, it's a buy. If it's over $3, it's a sell. And for a long time, this is, 20 years ago, corn was back and forth from $2.50, right, Jan? I mean, if it got under $2, people didn't plant as much. If it got over $3, you planted too much, and the price came back down. And now that number is probably, what, $4.50? And corn, if it gets under that, people don't plant very much. Now this year we got the other wrinkle of the rain. So I'm not up on what the what do you suppose the amount of time in our lifetime, Brendan? What do you suppose the amount of time it takes to mature corn? I'll bet it's down 20 to 25 days from the seed when we were 20 years old.
I have no idea about corn.
I mean, John, what do you mean? You're not. I mean, if Dan was on the air, he knows all about this stuff. But I'm going to say that a lot of the corn now. Man, you're from Iowa. You're supposed to know this stuff. But I'm going to say that the amount of time it takes to mature a corn plant, given the new seeds, when I say new, in the last 25, 30 years, is 20 to 25 days less. That's why you see the Corn Belt. What does it mean? It's every year with the advancements in the seeds, it moves 10 miles north or 15 miles. There's people growing corn now. That's why the soybean fiasco up in Minnesota and Dakota with the Chinese thing last year, that's why those people got their ass kicked. Because you never could put soybeans up there 30 years ago. But now with the hybrid seeds and so forth, you shorten up the growing time. Even if it's 10 or 15 days, it makes a huge difference if you go 100 miles north. Way too much about, you see how you got me started, John, but you understand what I'm talking about, though, right? So this year, if it stays this wet, we're almost the end of May. I'm going to say another 3 weeks of this rain, and you're going to see people in Illinois having to switch to soybeans. Because you're not going to get a corn crop in, right, Manny?
I have no idea.
You're supposed to know this stuff. You're from Iowa.
You were a Tassler. About it.
You were a Tassler.
So you're from Iowa. You're a corn expert. I'm Eddie.
I guess.
Well, you were a Tassler.
I did that once. It was the worst thing I've ever done.
But makes you a corn.
One time I've been in the country of my life, I said I'd never go back.
Tell everybody what a Tassler is.
It's called a detassler.
Well, whatever.
And you literally walk down a row of corn and you pull the tassels out, which are...
To see if the corn is ready to be picked?
Well, I guess it does something to, like, I don't know if it, like, pollinates it or what
it is. Pollinates it. You're giving it sex.
Yeah, essentially. And it's much, I guess, for whatever reason, it's more cost effective. It's a gentle process, and so they'd rather have human hands do it than a machine.
You're giving the plant Viagra.
Yeah. By the way, Michael writes in, did you guys see 60 Minutes the other night? It explains why M2 going up and select inflation, they call it money laundering, looks like Russia outright stealing dollars, leaving worthless rubles behind.
I heard about that, and I'm going to listen to it. But the whole idea is since we're trying to get them, they're not officially out of the payment system, right, John? Iran is. That's why there's a God. Where's my buddies from the Fed when I need them? There's a payment system for people to be able to get their currency in to where you can change it for dollars and other stuff. We've never, as much as we've been pissed off at Russia, we never pulled the plug on that, have we, Brendan or Jen, and those guys? But we did on Iran.
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, we did on Iran. So when everybody gave Obama all the crap about when we paid them money and we had to give them cash, we had to give them cash because they essentially can't cash a check because they're not part of the international payment system, which has really got them steamed forever. That's one of the reasons why they're pissed off at us, right? I don't know if that should affect the nuclear thing or not. It doesn't make me like him any better, but but I mean, that's really how they had to get paid, is in cash. I mean, it's a crazy world that we do with these people, but the I mean, a lot of the people that we, you know, I think the 60 Minutes thing was about some of Putin's friends that have been affected by some of our policies in cutting back on some of the stuff going on in Switzerland and other places. That those guys have really had, they've been unable to move their money into dollars as quickly as they would like to do. And I can't say that I'm all upset about that, but evidently that's what the 60 Minute thing was about. I'm going to have to watch it. So there, Matty. That would be my answer. But I did hear it was very interesting. I didn't have a chance to deal with it. So, John, what do you think it is? We were on with Kenny earlier, and it looks like a 20-point wide market as the market is actually settling down and the VIX is going down. It's kind of strange.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that are kind of strange with all this working through, you know, a lot of these things out there. That it's kind of bizarre, to be honest with you.
Well, I've got the VIX this morning down a whole buck, 15.30. If you looked at that number, you would never guess you were getting 20-point spoo moves every day.
Right.
But we're getting one day, one side one day, the other side the other day, and at the end of the week, we're unchanged.
That's exactly it.
But that's, it's a little, I mean, I know for me, I've changed my strategies. I bought in all my short calls yesterday. They were $5-6 out of the money in a lot of these indexes. We could be right back there by Friday.
I've got a little bit of that short-term stuff too, myself, Tom. You know, and a lot of times it's working out and being very productive for the clients.
Well, I was struggling yesterday. My calls went out Friday in the XLE. And so I was looking for either calls to sell or I was looking to do a repair strategy. Dan was looking for one too. And you know, because I like it if the oil runs up here. I'd like to, you know, I don't want to hit a home run. Well, I always like to hit a home run, but I'd like to set myself up for a double at least. So I'm looking at a repair strategy. The volatility in there is under 18. There's nothing to do. How is it we got aircraft carriers steaming up and down the Persian Gulf, and we, every night you watch the guys in Iran run up and down the street in their army outfits, and XLE implied volatility is under 18. Does that make any sense?
Right. Exactly.
I don't, you know, something. I mean, the market's telling you a real lot of stuff. The market's telling you right now.
Oh yeah, the XLE. Yeah, XLE should be screaming, and it's not.
Yeah,
you're absolutely correct.
And so should, I don't even want to go there with the GDX. The gold should be, and it's not either.
Same thing there, exactly.
And yet, we are getting these moves during the day. It reminds me, and I've said this earlier, reminds me of the entire market now is like the 10 minutes before a Fed announcement. Everybody sees some order coming their way. They immediately think it's generated from a tweet, and they back off the thing.
But that's true, yeah.
And then when it gets down, then you want to be a buyer, and when stops going up, you want to be a seller. It's kind of crazed. Hey, did you guys saw this morning that Dress Barn went out of business? Not that I've ever gone there, but got 750 stores closing. It's got to leave a mark on a retail community.
Yeah, I know they have a footprint out here. I know they also in Chicago there.
I think they're in outlet malls, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I've seen them around in various malls.
I don't think they're in. There's none in Michigan Avenue. Well, I wouldn't know. I'm in Michigan, but it's. We had a guy. We had a guy who was on a few years ago on the midday business show on News Radio 78. I'll give a kudo. He was a retail expert, and man, we talked about this before. He said they're so overbuilt. There's 100 square feet of retail space for every man, woman, and child in the country.
Huh.
Or some incredible. I mean, this is a while back before the Sears stores started closing, so maybe it's less than that now, but. It, you know, I don't know. Is are we that over? I mean, some of these areas, like Homer Glen or in Indiana, and places where people sort of anticipated population moving that way. Man, you see a Home Depot and a Menards and a Myers and a Jewel and everybody all in a Walmart all lined up. you're sitting there going, God, there needs to be 5,000-6,000 people shopping at any one time to fill these places up, and it never seems like they're full. I mean, somehow they make money, but something's, I mean, I would love to see the math on one of these places, especially if you get stuck with like a Home Depot store where you think the population is moving, and all of a sudden for a decade it doesn't move so fast. I mean, man, oh man, we suppose the inventory is one of those places.
Right. I think also with these malls, I think they're changing them. Like here, one of the big malls here is called Metro Center, and that's been in decline for many, many years. And so they're making that a multi-use facility, kind of tearing the mall down, going to put in some housing, mainly some mature housing, and put more things in it, like a grocery store, so it'll be kind of a one-stop shop for the people. So they're basically building a community where that mall was, you know, and that's how they're changing that up.
Well, Jan, do you have any, I don't know what I would do, I don't have anybody with Tesla. What do you do if you have people with Tesla and all of a sudden Goldman comes out with an article saying the stock could be $10?
Oh, heck. Yeah, it's, I don't have anybody either, and I've kind of stayed away from that all this time, just, mainly because of the financials of the thing.
Yeah, I never really, there's been money to be made up and down in there, but like you say, I never.
No question.
I fortunately have stayed away from that one. I have some people in Apple, and I really don't know what to do with that one.
Apple too. Yeah.
What are you thinking? Are you okay here, or is all of a sudden? We'll talk about it on Friday. But SP futures are up 18.75 now. That's the high we've seen them. Nasdaq futures up 63. Dow futures up 125. Again, Boeing is up 771. Now I think birds were part of one of these flights. We'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.